Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message I'm sharing with you today is entitled Freedom. Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Are you experiencing freedom in your life as a follower of Jesus? In this message, I want to encourage you to find freedom in Christ and experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
But we cannot surrender freedom for personal comfort. Again, listen, the gospel is much bigger than laws. The gospel is much bigger than that. Church, remember, we are not Republicans, we are not Democrats, we're not independents, we're Christians. History teaches us that both systems, liberal or conservative, all you got to do is read your Bible. Read your Bible. You'll see conservative groups and liberal groups in the Bible. We call them the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, these are political religious groups, just like we have today. The Pharisees were the most conservative of Jews living in the New Testament, while the Sadducees were some of the most liberal Jews living in Jewish society. Both groups infringed upon personal freedoms. If you don't believe me, just read your Bible. Look what Jesus would combat constantly. See, both would infringe. So be careful. Freedom is a precious, precious gift to steward. And in this nation, we're born-again believers. As born-again believers, we should experience the most freedom in our walk with God than anybody else. Our journey, our spiritual journey, should be freer than any other country in this world. There are Christians who live in nations around this world whose governments do not permit them any expression of Christianity. Now think about this. If you wanted to buy a Bible, I mean, now you don't even have to go to the Christian bookstore. You just simply get on Amazon. You can have any Bible, any color, any type of translation you want, and it will be delivered to your house. But think about this. There are countries where you can't even have a Bible delivered to your house. It's not even allowed. It's not even an option. If we want to, you can get on your phone. You can download an app, and you can have whatever version of the Bible you want. Do you know that in some countries that data is restricted, that they cannot even download certain apps? Their nation hinders that information from coming into their nation. Believers in other nations, they don't have the freedom to assemble in whatever church they want. You don't like this church, you can go to another church. You know, in other nations, you don't have that freedom. Ironically, Christians living in nations where that nation restricts personal freedom often have greater spiritual freedom than we do. Now, how can that be? How can that be? What is our excuse? Our blessing of freedom is also our curse. Our blessing of freedom is also our curse. And the reason why I'm taking time for this, I'll just get the picture. This is how we understand freedom. It doesn't matter what background you come from. If you have lived in this nation all your life, this is part of our makeup. This is how we understand freedom. Our understanding of freedom has been shaped by our experience as citizens of this nation. And thank God for that. But we tend to believe that freedom is this. We can do whatever we want, whenever we want, with whoever we want to. That's what we understand as freedom. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. If I want to go outside in my underwear, I can. Stay inside. Sometimes people who identify themselves as Jesus people, like us, practice spiritual freedom in a way that it perverts grace. They practice freedom, spiritual freedom, in a way that it perverts grace. Listen to me. Spiritual freedom should never pervert grace. It should never pervert grace. There are some people who pervert grace. They'll pervert grace by acting in the flesh and spiritualizing it as freedom. Give you an example. I went fishing one time with a pastor friend of mine. Both were fishing. Takes out a container of chewing tobacco, puts it in his lip, begins to chew tobacco. All right? I didn't say a thing. I just kept on fishing. All right? He asked me if I was okay with him chewing tobacco. I told him this. I don't care. I don't have a problem with it. And I didn't. I didn't have a problem with him. And if we had just left it there, the whole situation would have been more comfortable. But he asked this, if he went on to justify himself this way. He goes, "I asked you if you're okay with it." Because some Christians are immature in their faith, And I don't want to cause anyone to stumble because of my freedom in Christ. That's exactly what he said. Now, I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to make the connection what Paul said addressing the Corinthians. And if you remember the Corinthians, there were issues about eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And that's the correlation he was trying to make. Paul tells the Corinthian believers, right? Listen, it's not wrong to eat meat. It's good to eat meat. It's God's created animals. You can eat them. There's nothing wrong with them. But if you eat meat that you know that has been dedicated to an idol, don't eat that meat. So Paul's correcting this. If you go to the market, because what happened was, often in Corinth, you would sacrifice these massive amounts of animals, and they would then take that meat and sell it in the market. And so Christians were confused. If I buy this meat, what if it's been sacrificed to an idol? Paul says, don't worry about it. That's not on you. It's not you. You don't have to deputy dog it and try to figure out whether it's been given to an idol or not. Just eat it with a good conscience. But if you sit down to a meal with someone and they said, listen, this meat has been sacrificed to an idol, don't eat it. Don't eat it. That's what he's saying. Avoid it, right? Avoid eating meat that has been sacrificed to an idol. But some believers were convicted, and they're so convicted they said this, I'm not going to eat meat anymore because I can't go to the market and figure out whether it's been given to an idol or not. Therefore, I'm not going to eat. So what they did was this. They then began to project those beliefs onto other people. You can't eat meat. You don't know if that's been given to an idol or not. Paul straightens all that mess out. He says, listen, if you know it's been given to an idol, don't eat it. But if you don't know, don't worry about it. Eat steak. Right? Just eat meat. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. What Paul was trying to do is, if I eat meat and it causes my brother to stumble, then I'll just stop eating meat. That's the idea. The idea is under this whole concept of idolatry. So honestly, when he was making this connection, we're not comparing apples to apples here. They are completely different. But yet that's what the connection he was trying to make between him chewing tobacco and whatever I might feel. See, he didn't know what I was feeling. I really didn't care because I was catching fish. All right, I have to admit, the unsanctified part of me wanted to say this. This is what I really wanted to say in response. My response, and thank God I didn't say this, but I thought it. My response was going to be this. If I miss setting the hook on a fish, you won't mind if I cuss, will you? You won't mind that, will you? Because I don't want you to stumble over my freedom to cuss. If I had said that, my guess is the fishing trip would have ended. And I was catching too many fish, so I just kept my mouth shut. See, if this brother had taken his tobacco out and began to chew it and kept on fishing, I wouldn't have said nothing. I would have never thought anything of it. But when you feel the need to justify yourself, that's probably a good indicator that you're not doing the right thing. See, it doesn't take a person. It just takes the Holy Spirit to nudge you. When you feel like you've got to justify your behavior, and then you project that behavior on someone else and you try to spiritualize it, that's a big issue. That's a big issue. And that's not, you're trying to say, well, it's your lack of spirituality that is the issue. And that's wrong. That is wrong. That's not in harmony with what Paul was trying to say. Listen, I'm not trying to say this brother's going to hell. I'm not even saying that he was sinning per se. I'm just saying this, that is not spiritual freedom. That is not spiritual freedom. But yet, unfortunately, that's many Christians, this is their idea of spiritual freedom, that they can do whatever they want under grace. Or grace goes a long way to allow me to do certain things. Let's just honestly and biblically define what spiritual freedom is. Spiritual freedom is not permission to engage the flesh, see how close we can get to the world, and still go to heaven. That's not spiritual freedom. So what is spiritual freedom? Spiritual freedom is this, to become all that God's called you to be. That's really what it is. You have the freedom to live for Jesus. You have the freedom to be separated from your flesh and to live for Jesus. That's true freedom. That's true spiritual freedom. Look at Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's freedom right there. See, before Jesus, you couldn't do that. Christ could not live in you. But I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's freedom. Freedom to live a crucified life. It's not freedom to keep on staying in the flesh and doing whatever you want, still go to heaven. It's freedom that allows Christ to live in and through us. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, look, a living sacrifice. That's freedom. Freedom allows you to present yourselves to God a living sacrifice. Look at this. Holy and acceptable. That can't be done under the guise of the flesh. That has to be a work of God. This is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. This world will try to conform you to its pattern, to its image. But Paul says this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, a spiritual freedom is this, that we present ourselves to God a living sacrifice. Spiritual freedom is this, that the Holy Spirit can then transform our lives more and more into the likeness of Jesus. See, our flesh and this fallen world, it will tell us that this is freedom. Freedom is found in following our desires. Freedom is found in doing whatever we want to do. But the Bible tells us that we'll find true freedom when we embrace who we are in Christ. Listen, why are there so many sipping saints today? We'll say that again. Why are there so many sipping saints? You know what I'm talking about, right? Why are there so many shacking up saints? I'll tell you what, we've adjusted our view of freedom to mimic our cultural view of freedom. We try to make spiritual freedom line up with cultural freedom, and they're completely opposed to one another. Because you do have certain unalienable rights as American citizens. There are certain things you can do that America, that our Constitution, that our government permits you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus permits you to do that. Well, if it's truly freedom, then there is no law. Read your Bible. Read the requirements of grace. You know, the law says this, don't sleep with a woman who's not your wife. But grace says that, that's what the law says, excuse me. The law says don't sleep with a woman who's not your wife. Grace says this, don't even look at a woman lustfully. The requirement is greater under grace. You know why? Because you're born again. Because you're born again. You're a new person. See, we've adjusted our view of freedom to our desires of our flesh. It's a big mistake. The only way we can find true freedom is through Christ and our flesh in submission to the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, look at John 6:38. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Are you living free? That's the question you got to ask. That's the question I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us. You know, this morning when I came out here, I thought, Lord, I pray that there are no guests in here today. Because I really felt like God needs to do a little internal work in here this morning. God's got you here for a purpose. See, many of us have been set free, but we're not living free. We've been set free, we're just not living free. Jesus sets you free, amen? He sets you free to live free. After Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, he went into the wilderness, and he's there 40 days, and he's fasting, he's praying, and you know, he's tempted by the devil, and he overcomes that temptation. Afterwards, Jesus goes into Galilee, and that's where he begins his public ministry, is in Galilee. And he returns to Nazareth, and he enters the synagogue, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. This is what he reads, and this is the messianic prophecy. This is what the Messiah would do. And check this out, he reads this scripture, and he announces to everyone, this is fulfilled in your hearing. This is what I'm going to do. I'm letting you know that as Messiah, this is what my ministry will accomplish. This is what my mission will become. Look, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus said he was anointed with the Holy Spirit first to preach the gospel, to evangelize lost people, that he has come to open prison doors, He's come to give to open blind eyes, that people should repent of their sins, turn their lives over to Him, surrender to Him, and He would set them free. That they would be born again. They would be restored. They would be freed from their captivity. The prison door would then open. See, many of us have received Jesus as Savior. The prison door is open, but we're not walking in freedom. Our blind eyes are open. We know truth, but we're not walking in truth. We're not walking in the freedom Jesus has made available to us. Jesus said His ministry would heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted in the Greek is centribo, is the word. It means to break into pieces. How many of you have ever had your heart broken into pieces? Jesus said He would provide healing for the brokenhearted. Do you know that if you go to the web and look up the Mayo Clinic website, you'll find a medical condition there that is called broken heart syndrome. All right, broken heart syndrome is preceded by an intense physical or emotional event. And here are some potential triggers. Here's how you can get a broken heart. Are you ready? Unexpected death of a loved one. Have a frightening medical diagnosis. Domestic abuse. Losing money. Financial strain. Strong arguments. Job loss. Divorce. A car accident. Major surgery. Has anybody ever had a broken heart before? You know what I'm talking about, right? The rest of you is coming then. Because these are everyday situations. You can't get away from these. These are going to happen. Your heart will be broken. And if not, you just got granted, I guess. See, your heart will be broken. It will be dashed into pieces. Things, life, situation, people will dash your heart. They'll break it. They'll step on it. They'll trample it down. If you find it hard to move beyond a broken heart to health, you'll stay in bondage to that broken heart, to that situation. Did you hear me? See, your heart will be broken. There's no doubt about it. But you got to be restored to health. Otherwise, you're going to stay in that place of brokenness. And in that place of brokenness, you will not experience freedom. Listen, we live in a fallen world. Unfortunately, we will experience heartache, physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain. Everyday traumas will break your heart. But I've got good news for you. The Bible says this, that Jesus can mend our broken hearts. Psalms 47:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. If you ever get a broken heart, and you will, Jesus can bind up those, He can mend you. The reason why some of us can't find greater freedom spiritually is because we have a broken heart. We're trying to mend that broken heart by embracing our flesh. Remember, flesh, mind, will, emotions is where the flesh lives. See, some of us get a broken heart, and we tend to embrace the flesh rather than the spirit. Person suffering from depression, trauma, pain, listen, they cannot find healing in substances or behaviors. Only Jesus can truly mend your heart. Only Jesus can truly mend your heart. Jesus said, this is the third thing, that He would liberate captives. He would liberate captives. That word just means literally just liberty. He would liberate people from their captivity, release from bondage, release from imprisonment. Jesus is speaking about liberating us from our sins, yes, but far beyond that. Jesus promises more than liberation from our sins. We already know that, right? The cross has done that. The cross has accomplished that. His blood has done that. And when we, by faith, when we repent of our sins, we come into agreement that we surrender ourselves to Him, we have an open prison door. But it goes beyond that. It's liberation from captivity. Again, the prison door can be open, but you can still remain in prison. Jesus is speaking about liberating us from sins, but also that we experience forgiveness. Listen, church, it doesn't stop there. Liberty means we are pardoned. Pardoned. Doesn't mean we're innocent. It just means this, that God has mercy on us and He forgoes punishment. See, some of us, we've messed up in our past. We might even mess it up now. But we still experience unforgiveness. Some of us haven't learned to forgive ourselves. Some of us have not learned to forgive. And you know what that is? That's bondage. That's bondage. If Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. If Jesus can forgive you, why can't you forgive you? If Jesus can forgive you, why can't you forgive that other person? It's bondage. Jesus came to set us free, but we're still bound by guilt, still bound by shame, still bound by the fear to fail. Jesus sets us free, but sometimes we're unable to experience forgiveness because we have difficulty forgiving others and we've had difficulty forgiving ourselves. He set you free. The jail is open, friend. Whatever reason you remain in the cell is beyond me. Self-imposed prison. Why impose prison when Jesus would have you free? Jesus has forgiven you now. It's time for us to walk, to receive forgiveness. Walk in it. Forgive others. Walk in forgiveness. Look, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Unforgiveness is bondage. If you can't forgive yourself, you can't forgive others. You're in bondage. The door's wide open, but you're bound up inside. It's up to you. It's up to us to walk in freedom. I'm going to read this verse. It's one you all know. But I want you to listen to it, please. Slow down. Just listen to it. Romans 3:23. For all, everyone on the face of this earth has sinned. And everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. All. Not some, all. See, you say, well, I understand that. I believe that. But in reality, you don't. Because you think you've sinned more than others. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Someone needs to hear that today. That might be your perception, but it's not reality. All have sinned. You're no different than anyone else. All has fallen short of the glory of God. You may feel like you've messed up things before bigger than anyone else, but it's not true. That's your perception, but that's not reality. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Spiritual liberty is hindered by self-imposed prisons. Satan's not keeping you there. Again, we want to try to blame things on Satan. You can't. We stay there sometimes. Sometimes we get in painful situations. We find comfort in that. That's dangerous, church. Jesus is offering us freedom. Move beyond bondage. Move into freedom. Move past your past. Move past heartache. Move past pain. Move past unforgiveness and walk in freedom. If you live in your past, you'll never move forward and you will remain spiritually undeveloped. It stunts your spiritual growth. If you don't move into forgiveness, you'll remain in shame. You'll remain in guilt. You'll remain in a bondage when Jesus would have you free. See, in bondage, listen to me, it doesn't matter what you're in bondage to, you're prone to sin. You're prone to sin. Why? Because you're not free. You're prone to sin. Bondage will prone you to failure. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. See, sin shouldn't have dominion over us, but we allow it to have dominion over us. If we ever say, well, I just can't, then listen, we've got a problem then with God's word, because we can. Now, listen, I'm in no way standing up here preaching perfection. I'm just letting you know this is available to us. Now, we're going to walk in it, or we're going to pretend it's fairyland. Now, which is it going to be? See, if you live in freedom Jesus provides, doesn't mean you won't be tempted. It doesn't mean you won't fail. It doesn't mean you won't experience victory or defeat. It just means this, you won't be bound. And religion is binding. You hearing me? Binding. Religion makes you appear that you're free when in reality you know you're locked up inside. You're locked up inside. You look good, you look free, but you know it's not true. Religion makes you appear more spiritual than you are, when in reality you may be complacent. You may be stuck in a rut. Religion can cause us to experience some of the most repressive feelings of condemnation. Religion is deceitful, and everyone in here is we're susceptible. There's no one that's beyond the grasp. Religion tells you that it's okay not experiencing freedom. It's wrong. It's not okay. Jesus sets you free. If the Son sets you free, live free. As long as we go through the motions and appear to be fine and appear to be strong, religion says it's okay. Fake it till you make it. Can I just tell you this, that you'll put more and more chains on yourself by doing that. See, religion is a cover, it's a veil. Freedom requires transparency. It requires you to be humble. Religion keeps you covered so it's not exposed. Because we're afraid that if it's exposed, everyone's going to reject us. And that's just not true. That might be your perception, but that's not reality. It's your perception because maybe somewhere in life someone has done that to you. But I can tell you this as your pastor. If I catch you doing that to someone, I'll ask you to go to another church. Not kindly either. You cannot project things onto people like that. Listen, if we're going to be a church that ministers to this community, we better be open. If there's a homosexual that comes in, you better love them. Do you want to have their blood on your hands? If there's someone here that's dealing with drugs and alcohol, poverty, they're just being stupid. Generation after generation, they use the system. If you're not willing to love them, then listen, that's on you. Religion will say this, look at them. But it deflects the Holy Spirit's attention to you. Some of it, we've dealt with captivity so long, we've gotten comfortable with it. We're believing a lie. We're settling for bondage when we could have freedom. I need to move on. Jesus said he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Is this okay? Okay. I was going to do it anyways. Jesus said he was anointed with the Holy Spirit to liberate the oppressed. To liberate the oppressed. The Greek word is thrao, and it means to be oppressed, but it means to be bruised. It means to be bruised. Jesus came to liberate the bruised. You ever had a bruise before? It's a wound under the skin, isn't it? It's a wound under the skin. See, some of us have been bruised. We seek healing. We seek healing from other places. Some people will drink at their bruise. Some people will self-medicate at their bruise. Some people will deal with their bruise through broken relationships. Some people will deal with their bruise through behaviors and mindsets. Can't deal with these issues with substances, relationships. Some of us will do this, that we won't even have, we don't have an issue with substances. We don't have an issue with relationships, but we'll deal with the bruise this way. I'm going to get close now. Some of us will deal with a bruise by gossip. You say, where did that come from? I'll give you it. Check this out. Do you know most people who deal with gossip have self-esteem issues? They do. It does take a rocket scientist to figure this out. I'm no Dr. Spock. It's a self-esteem issue. We want to appear more important than we are. Somewhere along the line, we felt like we've been rejected. Some point in our life, we've been bruised. We didn't feel like someone was listening to us. So what do? We share information, true or not, hoping to look more important, more informed, more knowledgeable, so it inflates that ego that's been bruised. That's oppression, by the way. That's oppression. See, Satan seeks that out. See, he knows he can't close the door on you. He can provide the chains. Here they are. Just put them on yourself now. Just keep putting them on yourself. Lock after lock, link after link. That's oppression, a bruise, but only Jesus can liberate you from that bruise. Can't find freedom in gossip. Listen, the past is still there. The pain is still there. Let Jesus heal it. Let him touch it. See, you'll find freedom in Christ. See, what a bruise does is tells you this. You need the admiration of man. You need opinions of man. But that's not what the Word of God says. You need to know who you are in Christ. You are a child of God. You are a son of God, a daughter of God. You don't need man's approval. We find true freedom in Christ. And only Jesus can heal a bruise that is decades old. Some people can't tell the truth because they've been bruised. They felt powerless, rejected, unaccepted, without a voice. So what do? We expand the truth a little bit, hoping to gain acceptance, hoping to gain approval. Somewhere in the past, felt inadequate. People say, well, we value people through accomplishment in this culture. So what do? We tell a story. Story begins. We begin to expand on the story. I caught a fish this big. It's a bruise. Satan will exploit it. And what it is you'll be oppressed more and more. The more you expand the truth, the more you further yourself from truth and embrace lies, listen, the more chains are thrown on you. Then the shame comes in. How am I going to get these chains off? Because now what I've lied about is going to come out to the open. But that's the only way you can deal with it, is out in the open. If you try to untangle yourself, it's not going to work, because how has that worked so far? You are a son or a daughter of God. You don't need the acceptance of me, the approval of me, or anyone else in this church. No one in your family, no one in your community. You need to find your acceptance and approval with God. Stop looking for approval in all the wrong places. It is bondage. John 6:38 again. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus came to give us freedom. Jesus came to liberate us from our sins. Thank God for that. But Jesus came to liberate us from our past. He's come to liberate us from our past. He's come to liberate us from religion. He's come to liberate us from people's opinions. Listen, are you experiencing freedom, or are you experiencing captivity? That's the question you got to answer today. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord is the spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. Is there freedom? See, if not, then you've imposed some type of prison upon yourself. You put yourself back into a corner. You're back behind the bars. The doors are open, but you're still chained. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit inhabits your inner being. You should be experiencing freedom. Are you experiencing freedom, or are you experiencing the veil of religion? Ephesians 3:12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Freedom and confidence. Religion just covers up a lack of confidence before man and God. Do you have confidence in your relationship with God? Do you know that when you pray, he hears you? Yeah, Pastor, I know that. No. Do you know that he hears you? Or do you just, you know, I know that's true, but he doesn't really hear me. See, if you're born again, he hears you. Does he know your name? Pastor, I know he knows my name. He knows everyone's name. No. Does he know your name? Do you know that God is for you and he's not against you? Have you not heard these themes come out of my voice many times? The reason is because some of you don't get this through your head. And you live well below what God intends. Well below. How long are you going to live there? I'm not standing here frustrated. I'm here passionate about this because I know this, that there are great things in store for our church, but it requires us to walk in freedom. It requires us to walk in health. It requires us to deal with some junk. Because if we'll do that, you can bring healing to your community. You've traveled through things. You've been through things. Now it's time to get free. It's time to get healthy so that you can be a ministry unto others. Do you know that God is for you and not against you? In freedom, there is confidence. There's confidence. Galatians 5:1. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I could probably just, that was the only verse I probably really needed to share. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. No longer the yoke of bondage. No longer the yoke of religion. You should walk in freedom. If you're not experiencing freedom in your life, when I close in prayer this morning, you need to get to the altar. Some of you need to get over yourselves, by the way. Seriously. Well, I'll deal with it another way. No, you won't. It doesn't work that way. There's something powerful about the altar. You know why? It's a public place. It's where it requires you to be honest. It requires you to be transparent. It's an altar where you sacrifice. It's an altar where you lay up something. Not back at your pew, with all respect, but it's not there. Listen, if these weren't important, we wouldn't have them here. But they're here for a reason. They're here so you can be honest. They're here so you can embrace truth. They're here so you can receive healing. Again, if you think, well, this is no difference between here or there, again, how has that worked for you? How has that worked for you? We experience freedom by walking in freedom. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We walk in newness of life, not in the past.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.